Praise the Lord. Thank you. It's really neat. I love when God does this. I love when he preaches your sermon before you even get up. It's just such a great time. It makes it so much easier because you know you heard directly from heaven. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Luke 19, Luke chapter 19. And let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for being here. I thank you for who you are. And Lord, I pray today, as you have spoken to me, that I would be able to speak every word back clearly, Father. And then, Father, I pray that throughout this week and the weeks to come, that you would rest and your word would rest on each heart and bringing everything back to their remembrance, Father, for the commitment that needs to be made. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to speak to you specifically about occupying. You know, the word occupy means to do business in the Greek. It means to bring forth much fruit, to be busy, to make your life busy, one busy. It means to even get out and carry on a business. In this particular lesson that I'm going to speak on, I want to challenge you. I want to give out a challenge today. And the challenge I want to give to each of you is to work and support ministry until he returns. To work and support ministry until he returns. It's funny that I wanted to give just a small example. I was in a church many, many years ago, and we were getting ready to start praise and worship. And there were several men and women that could play the piano, and I've said this before. And in the service, the pastor kept saying, "Is there anybody here that plays an instrument? Is there anybody here that plays an instrument?" So, of course, I'm not sure what they were waiting on. I'm not sure if you needed to be begged, prodded, or whatever, but nobody came up. And so what happened is we began to sing. And all of a sudden, a woman walked in the door and she asked the usher, "Do they need somebody to play?" And where this woman came from, I don't know, but she walked all the way up and began to play. It's sort of like that. This is kind of what I'm going to talk to you about. Why did God invest in you? What was the purpose of his investment? Was it for you to hold on to it, or was it for you to give? He said a nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and divided among them 10 pounds of silver, saying, "Invest this for me while I'm gone." But his people hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, "What do you want him? We do not want him to be our king." After he was crowned king, he returned and called to the servant to whom he had given the money. He wanted to find out what their profits were. The first servant reported, "Master, I invested your money and made 10 times the original amount." "Well done," the king exclaimed. "You are a good servant. You have been faithful with the little I entrust to you, so you shall be governor over 10 cities as your reward." The next servant reported, "Master, I invested your money and made 5 times the original amount." "Well done," the king said. "You will be governor over 5 cities." But the third servant brought back only the original amount of money and said, "Master, I have hid the money and kept it safe. I was afraid because you are a hard man to deal with. Taking what isn't yours and harvesting your crops you didn't plant." "You wicked servant," the king roared. "Your own words condemn you. If you knew that I am a hard man who takes what isn't mine and harvests crops I didn't plant. Why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest. Then turning to the other standing nearby, the king ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. But master, they said, he already has 10 pounds. Yes, the king replied. And to those who use well what they are given, and even more will be given. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken. And as for these enemies of mine who didn't want me to be their king, bring them in, execute them right here in front of me. This is a parable. And the purpose of a parable is to give us a heavenly story and then put into it an earthly content. The nobleman is Jesus Christ. He's a representation of Jesus Christ. The citizens, the non-believers, are representatives of the Jews that rejected Jesus Christ and they wanted to kill him. The 10 servants, that's us, hopefully. Hopefully it's every one of us as believers that have come in and he's given each of us a gift. He's given each of us something to invest in his kingdom. Now how we invest it, we'll see. And then he's given us something as a challenge. The money represents all of the gifts, the 10 pounds. The money represents not just money, but also gifts. So, in this passage where the nobleman told his servants to bring down the money, when he went in and he gave them the gifts, and he said to them, I would like for you to invest this. Right now, I'd like for you to just think for a minute. What has God given you to invest? What has he placed on the inside of you that you can give to someone else that can grow? I thought about when I was out in a church and they talked about tithing. So for this moment, I'm going to talk about money. When they started out talking about tithing, I have to tell you something. I had seen so much misuse in the churches I had grown up in with money. It was difficult for me to give my tithe. When I first accepted Christ and they started talking about tithe, I said, he don't need my money. He already got a Cadillac. He doesn't need to ride around with my money. But then I got to a church where tithing was explained. Where it was explained that, no, God doesn't really need your money. But the thing is that he's given you an opportunity to invest in his kingdom for the furtherance of the gospel. And let me tell you what happened. My hand that was closed opened. And I learned how to give. I had never been taught about tithing. I didn't come from a foundation of tithing. But my hand was closed because I said I could give it to the person myself. So why do I need to tithe it? And after I learned about tithing, it was easy for me to open my hand. And you know what happened? I found out that the way I was living before, it was as if my bucket had a hole in it and everything was running out. And once I started tithing, the hole in the bucket closed up. And I could see and understand why I needed to tithe. Now, that's one thing that God is talking about, giving, investing, placing it in the right place so that growth could take place. But the other gift is also God is speaking about what can you do for kingdom's sake? We all say we're too busy. We have too much going on. We want the most with the least amount of work. But it's time for us to sit down and begin to understand that God has invested something in you that he needs you to do. I don't read where this was, I sometimes see a little comedy in God's word. I'm sorry, don't get mad at me, but I sometimes see a little comedy in God's word. Because you know what? I don't see where he said, after you invest, you're going to rest. He made him governor over 10 cities. Can you imagine the work and complaining this man is about to hear? 10 cities. I said, God, you gave him what? Was it really a blessing or what? He is going to be blessed with cities. That's all the repairs of the city. That's all the people in the city. That's all the jobs of the city. That is everything. 10 cities. And then the guy came along and he got 5 cities, which means more work. So when we come to Christ, I don't know the expectation of our heart, but we think, I finally arrived, now I can sit. That's not the investment. The investment is that you've come to Christ and now the gospel needs to be spread. Jesus Christ saved me, he saved you, and he saved all of us in this building for a purpose. And the purpose is the furtherance of the gospel. I thought about the fact that everyone in the building, young and older, what it would look like if we were all doing what we're supposed to do. How busy the kingdom would be. John, 1 John 2:13 and 16 says this. I write unto you, fathers, and in one interpretation it says gray-haired men, because you have known him that is from the beginning. So the foundation of those fathers is that they've known him from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, so he didn't leave you out, young people, he didn't leave you out. Because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, and I'm reading it again, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. Young men, God has called you because you're strong, but the word of God is supposed to abide in you. And when the word abides in you, you will overcome the wicked one. And then he says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If your earthly job asks you to do something, what do? We do it. At least I do. Anybody else do it? Yes, amen. Because we want to keep the job, right, Hunter? You want to keep the job. And so we want to keep the job. Hunter is one of my new employees. And so he raised his hand high. He wants to keep the job, and he works hard. We want to keep the job. We want to make sure that tomorrow someone's not telling us to leave. But day after day we pray, and our Heavenly Father's saying, you see your neighbor over there? Would you just go over and witness to your neighbor? You hear the people behind you speaking to you? Will you just witness to them? Will you just pray with them? My son says I talk to everybody, and he's telling the truth. If they walk up to me at the grocery store and they say something, I have people that talk. I have something on my back that says, talk to her. She talks to anybody. And so wherever I go, people talk to me. And people come up in the line and they say, hi, how are you? And I say, I'm fine. How are you? And they just start, you know, food is just going up and it's so expensive. And I just turn around and I say, yes, but, you know, we're both here. So isn't that a blessing that we could come and we could get food? Because other people can't get food. They can't even come out to the grocery store. Look at how good God is. It doesn't take but a minute to usher God into everything that you say to people. Wherever I go, I have made a determination that God goes with me. And it's not a story. It's not a long thing. All you have to do is say, God, give me wisdom, because here I am and you are here too, because I am your representative. So wherever I go, people say, well, you know, you can't talk about God in this particular place when you go here. They won't let you talk about God. Then live the life and be a Christian. The Bible says, let your light so shine so that men could see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do you know you don't always have to open up your mouth? All you got to do is live like a Christian. And people will come out of the woodwork and say, are you Christian? How many of you have ever had anybody walk up to you and you never said anything to them? And they said, are you a Christian? They saw your light. Not all the time, but live it. Don't be around the corner telling everybody off and telling people what to do, then walk out and say, hallelujah. Live the life. Because Christ is looking for people that will live the life so that men will be drawn to him. That is the goal of my life. I set a goal and I said, Father, I just want to win people to you. I don't care that when I'm dead and gone, whether they walk up and say, you know, there was a lady here and her name was Robin Bill. I don't care about that. I want them to be one to Jesus Christ. Because if you meet me and you remember me, you haven't met anybody. But if you meet Jesus and forget Jesus, you've lost everything. It's not about me. It's about him. We are being called. We are being called to serve. This is a call of service. And you know, we are doing a lot of things in ministry, and lots of changes are taking place. So I want to encourage you, older people. In the Bible, it speaks in John 9:4. It says, we must quickly carry out the task assigned to us by the one who sent us. One day, I will leave this position, but I will never leave the kingdom, and I will never leave what God has called me to do, because I'm a stabilizing force for the new generation, because I'm rooted and grounded. That's what you are. You know, I keep hearing people say, well, I don't have a purpose. But if you have been serving the Lord for a long time, you're a stabilizer. Everybody needs something to hold the building up. Everybody needs a foundation that's been tried and true, other than just standing on Jesus, but they need somebody next to them saying, no, you can do this. No, you can build this church. No, you will build this church. Everybody needs somebody, and we are stabilizers. We keep the foundation solid by helping people walk along. When I first accepted Jesus Christ, I came from, in the beginning, what's known as, they set up small churches and they called them like deliverance centers. And we would go places and set up small churches. And they would send a group of us out of the large church to help pastors start smaller churches. And as I became older in Christ, and they started sending us out, 22, 23. I can't tell you the times that I've walked into the church, and here you got 5, 6 members, and you're just starting off, and the bills are running in, and the pastor is sitting there, and he is just weeping. And I would come into the church at 23, 24, and look him in the face, and I'd say, oh, yeah, we can do this. This church will be built. We can do this. And now I look back over all those years, and what is it that can keep us from the love of Christ? What is it that can keep us from building for Jesus Christ? I now know, when I look back at those churches that had 4 and 5 people coming into it, trying to support it, and now they have a couple of hundred and even thousands of people, I look back and I say, who can separate us from the love of Christ? My foundation is sure, and your foundation can be sure too. Aged women, it says, likewise, Titus 2:3-5. The aged women likewise, they have been in behavior as becoming holiness. Likewise, they will be in behavior as becoming holiness, becometh holiness. not false accusers, not given to too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober to their husbands and to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, and the word of God, not the word of God, be not blasphemed. There's a job for everybody to do. And when you begin to look at that job, young people, you have a job to do. You're supposed to go to school in the next couple of weeks. And those of you that start in a couple of weeks, you're supposed to go to school. And you know there are things that you can do. And I'll be speaking on that a little later, closer to coming to school. But I'm amazed that I've been looking up all the things that students can do that nobody else can do in their school system, but they're allowed to do it. And I'm going to bring that list to you because I think that it's time for us to stop making excuses, to stop saying, I know I'm a Christian, but I don't want to say much because I don't want to get kicked out of school. They talk about all kinds of garbage. You better start talking about Jesus Christ. It's time to start talking. Our friends are getting killed. Things are happening. Everybody needs to start talking about Jesus. And let me tell you something. As a student, you have a huge platform of freedom. More than you will ever understand and know. It's time to get busy. It's time to think about, what is it that you have called me to do, Lord Jesus? What have you invested in me? It's not time for you to look backwards. It's time for you to look forward. And one of our favorite verses is John 3:16. But before I just give you that verse, even though you know it by heart, I want to ask you, what is your concept of God? Because in verse 20, in Luke 19, verse 20, the problem here was when the man said, I knew you were a hard man. So what I did is I took it and I put it in my pocket basically and I didn't invest it because you were hard. What is your concept of God? You know, we all fall into our little spoiled modes. I've been there. I've done that. I don't think God's impressed, but I've done it. And I've had times in my life that I just kind of said, God, you don't do this, and you don't do that, and you don't do this. And then the Lord just gently gave me a great big spanking that says, but a couple of weeks ago I gave you this. But a couple of years ago I rescued you all from this. You see, we forget about the Hall of Fame. What God has done, that's my name. My name is, I call it the Hall of Fame, where God shows me everything that he's done for me. And because I'm a writer, I journal where God has brought me from and the miracles and the things that God has done in my life. And what happens is when I get ready to fix my mouth to tell God that he has not been faithful, it's very difficult. You have not been. I can't even say it. Even though it seems like the most desperate time in my life, I cannot say God has not been faithful. Because over and over and over again in my life, God has proven that he is faithful. He's been with me and he's made ways out of no way. What is your concept of God? You may be sitting here today and say, but you don't know how long I've prayed for this situation. You don't know what I have asked God for and he didn't give it. You have no concept of what I'm walking through, because if you did, you wouldn't say that God is faithful. Let me tell you something. I'm going to challenge you to just sit down for a moment in a quiet place and go back 9, 10 years and see if you've ever been in that spot or in another spot that was very difficult that you felt the same way. Did he bring you through? Obviously he did, because you're here. Obviously he did. Obviously, he kept putting food on your table. Obviously, he kept putting money in your pocket. This sister, when she gave her testimony, she said she has a job. She has a beautiful place to live. She has her grandchildren. She has her children. God is able, honey. He is able. I'm sorry, I feel like skipping, but when I think of the goodness of Jesus and what he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. I get excited about who Jesus is, because let me tell you something. If we would just stop and stop complaining for a half a second and look back and see what God has given us and how much he has multiplied us, if we were willing to invest it. What is in your pocket? What is in your hand? What has God given you? What talent has he invested in you? What word has he given you? What has he told you to do that you're doing this with? At Riversong, for the first, when we really began to grow, for the first 3 years at Riversong, our devotion, every devotion was about giving. Because the one thing I noticed in the beginning, besides the women that had come through this church, like Barb and others that had been taught to give, all the other girls had their hands like this. And so when we talked about meeting the needs and helping someone, they were like this. And their thing that they would say is, I can't give because I need. So we started doing devotions on giving. And I started telling them, I said, honey, when you open up your hand, nothing comes in this way and nothing goes out. But when you open up your hand, something could come in and something could go out. I'm telling you guys, you would not recognize Riversong right now. They will give, they buy coats, they do things. In the beginning, it was me leading and saying, our children need this. Someone needs this. I don't lead it anymore, because when I know it, they've already met the need. They come to me and they say, we bought so-and-so a coat, or we did this for so-and-so. Why? Because they needed it. We gave to someone. And they don't wait for me to say there's a need. They do it on their own. That's a lesson learned. So now I do other things. I don't have to speak on that anymore, because their hands are like this. They're not like this anymore. If you find that you are closed off to God, if you find willing to listen, time to listen. John 3:16 says this. So this should be your concept of God. This should be your experience. This should be what you understand who God is. For God so loved the world that he gave. If I stopped right there, that he gave. He's not taking from you. He's not here to steal something. He gave. And he loves you enough to keep on giving. And sometimes he does say no. And other times he says yes. But when he says no, if you look 5 years down the line, you will recognize he gave. It might not be the way we think he should do it, but he gave. He gave his only begotten son. He gave that meant the very most to him. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, not die, but have everlasting life. We have something better that we're looking forward to here. So you say, what is the purpose, Sister Bill? What is the purpose? I'm almost done. I'm leaving you with a purpose. I want to give you a purpose. What are you saying? I'm saying, do the work of the Lord until he comes. The Lord is returning. In case some of you have forgotten, because we forget things. Let me tell you, I'm going through a portion of my life. I wake up in the morning, I'll put something on the stove, go take a shower, come back, and it could be a little smoky. Okay, because I forgot I turned the stove on. Okay, so I go around, and at first I would cry, say, oh, God, I hope I'm not getting Alzheimer's. Oh, please, Jesus. And then I was just thinking, no, you just shouldn't turn the water on, Robin, before you go take a shower. That's dumb. So I don't think about stuff like that now. I just recognize I do things backwards. I shouldn't turn the water on if I'm going to take a shower. So what I'm saying to you, what is the purpose? I'm saying you work until he comes. When do you put down? When do you take your hand off the plow? When he comes to get you or when he comes to get us as a group? Number two, be witnesses. He needs us as his mouthpiece. Each of us need to be his mouthpiece in the grocery stores, everywhere you go. He needs us to be his mouthpiece on the job. He needs you to be his mouthpiece as you walk along. He needs you to let your light shine so that men can see his good works through you. He needs our arms because we can extend them. We can hug somebody. We can love on somebody. We can be there for somebody. He's looking for that. This sister fell in love with the ministry that came in because they were there to extend their arms. And then he needs us to invest in his kingdom. The work of God can't be done unless we're willing to invest. You and I have to become investors. One way or the other, we have to become investors. The work cannot be done. Who's going to do it? Remember the poem, Somebody Else, one of my favorite poems for my son? I tell him who, he says, I didn't get it done. I said, well, somebody else was really tired. I even tell the kids at school, Hazel hated her job. I told my son that. Hazel hated her job, so she quit. Now we got to do it. Somebody else quit. So now you and I have to do our job. You've been offered several things today that I didn't even know was going to fall in here. Sister Barb talked about what is needed. Right now, Barb talked specifically, and she said, what's needed is for someone to come and work in VBS. We talked about Beach on the Square. We talked about the celebration of VBS. All of these wonderful things are right here. And there's more. The prison ministry. The women's prison ministry. All of these wonderful things. What's next in your life? What do you have to invest in? Remember, Jesus called the whole body to the public. Not just one person. They say, well, you're a preacher, you go. No. He didn't call just me. He didn't call just the pastors. He didn't call just the ones that are on the prophetical ministry and all of the prayer team. He called all of us to public ministry because he gave us all a voice to use. I want to challenge you to talk to neighbors, go to the prisons, witness at your schools, mentor someone. Someone needs you as a mentor. Take the time to mentor right now. Will you mentor someone? That's kind of what I feel my last day calling is to take people under my wings and mentor them. So wherever I go, I'll be mentoring people. I'll be telling people about Jesus Christ. Because one thing for sure, I won't always be able to do ministry at the level I'm doing it now. But I'll always be able to do ministry. I'll always be able to mentor people. There's a song I grew up with by the Clark Sisters. And the song says this, and I'm almost done. Says, if you can't walk, then crawl. It says, if you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But get down on your knees. But by all means, keep it moving. We all have something Christ is asking us to do. And whatever level you are doing it at, maybe 20 years back, you will not do it at that level later. But by all means, keep it moving because Christ is looking for a witness wherever you are, whatever you're doing in life. Please don't forget the 10 servants, the challenge to be Jesus' representative, to do business for Jesus, and to keep a pure heart. I'm going to ask that you all pray for us as we get on the road today. I'm heading to New York. My mom is very sick, and I'm leaving right now. So I want to thank you for allowing me to minister, but I also would like for you all to remember us in prayer as we travel tonight to get there. And I'm doing a very quick trip. I'm going down. I have to be back at Riversong on Wednesday, so I'm going down, turning around basically, and coming right back. Got to get some paperwork in order to help my mom. So if we can stand to pray. Is there anyone here that wants to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Those that are praying at the altars, please come forward. Is there anyone here that wants to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior? Today you said, you know what, I know that I don't have Jesus as my Savior, but I want him. I want to take time to pray with you. I'm never in a rush that I can't take time to pray for you, that God would just come in and change your life. Giving time for a moment. If not, those of you that have come and you said, I really would like to have hands laid on me. I have some things that I need to pray about, and I'm asking others to pray with me. Please come forward. Please come forward if you have that. Others? Anybody else? Those that are here from the prayer team, will you all come over and begin to minister and to be with my sister and love on her? I don't see Pastor Jay, so what I'm going to do is dismiss. I'm going to ask you all to leave out very quietly as they minister at the altar. God bless you.